as long as there's been curiosity, there's been science. Now, while science, just like any other intellectual effort, has had its foundation and definition for most centuries, my next guest has stepped forward to explain how a part of the science from the past has been turned away from. This cold shoulder winds up eliminating a key part of what results in fully understanding what's being studied and explained. He presents his argument, combined with, I think, a tremendous educational history lesson about science through the years in his best-selling book, Light of the Mind, Light of the World, How New Science is Illuminating Ancient Truths About God. While being an author, he's host of the Young Heretics podcast, as well as associate editor at the Claremont Review of Books, Spencer Clavin. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for a book which, needless to say, and as I'm sure the listener might have done a double take too, when I read the title, How New Science is Illuminating Ancient Truths About God, that's an intention getter.
It's a bit of a shocking claim, I know. We all grew up with this idea, I think, that science and religion were at war with each other. At least that's kind of the impression I got in school, and we were told the story of Galileo and how reason had to break free from the nasty, repressive church. But as I describe in this book, that's really not the true story at all. As you indicated, science, the process and the system of studying the natural world, the quest for knowledge about nature and the material world around us, that enterprise grew up out of metaphysical and even theological premises. The idea that mankind was made in the image of God, that is to say that our minds are not just accidents that happen to evolve to deal with our immediate surroundings, but they're actually blueprints for the logic of the whole universe. The great architects of the scientific revolution, including Galileo, but also Kepler and Isaac Newton, all believed some version of this idea, as you would have to be confident enough to seek laws to describe the whole universe. And it was only after that, as science grew so dramatically in the wake of that revolution, that people started to feel as if they could explain everything with just material laws. And what I suggest in this book is that was an illusion, that was a mistake, and it's also an outdated idea, because science is now coming back around to finding all sorts of things that we need a religious outlook in order to understand, things like the essential nature of consciousness or mind in creating reality, the union between mind and matter that makes the world as it is. These are things that we, I think, need a religious outlook to understand and explain, and I think they reveal a world that looks a lot like the one in the book of Genesis. So the book, as you say, is kind of a hard reset on this idea of the fight between science and religion, because I think we sorely need one.
So with the absence of spirituality, which you say with a hopeful look that we're returning to the roots of science, I guess we can call that, but without spirituality, are scientists instead building an explanation versus gaining an understanding of what they're studying?
Well, I think that is, in some sense, what science does. I mean, it is true that in order to understand the world, scientists have to shelve some of the ultimate questions that we deal with. And this was true even for the religious scientists of the Protestant Reformation and the Scientific Revolution. You know, you put those questions aside in order to look at material things. But the idea that that means those questions don't exist, or they've vanished, or they are no longer important, that idea seems plausible for a while, and now it isn't enough, it turns out. And I do think that some of the political fights that we've been having over science recently, things like science by consensus, the arguments over what the science tells us about what we should do regarding COVID, you know, in political endorsements from places like Scientific American for one candidate over another, this is a sign that science has lost its way, because it doesn't have the resources from within itself to point the way to what we ought to be doing, to these ultimate questions. And in the end, the idea that there is an absolute truth out there that doesn't depend on consensus, that isn't just whatever everybody happens to agree about, or whatever the strong happen to dictate, or whatever politics makes you want to say, but is actually independent of humanity and of the physical world and exists beyond time and space. That idea is turning out to be necessary, even in order to support scientific endeavor in its truest and in the form with real integrity. So, yeah, I do think that science is starting to founder along with our politics, because in the end, nothing really makes sense without God. It's hard to find that's the simplest way I can put it. And I do think that we're coming to grips with that now.
There's an old foundation axiom in journalism. It's the 5 W's and the H. Who, for a story to be a journalistic story, it has to be who, what, where, why, when, and how. And as I'm reading your book, Light of the Mind, Light of the World, the absence of spirituality means the absence of the H, how, when you're doing any scientific study. Am I in the ballpark there?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I definitely think not only how, but the why is lost. I mean, there's a certain kind of how that we can answer with science. That is, what are the processes? What's the mechanism by which, say, we can explain the motion of Saturn across our vision in the sky? But these larger questions, such as how did all of this come into being, and why does any of it come into being? Why should we care? Why should we expect there to be answers to our questions? Why shouldn't we just allow our machines to take over for us or replace us altogether? You can see people now struggling with those questions. With the advent of AI and machine learning, you're starting to see people failing to come up with good answers to questions like why does humanity matter? Why should we care about people or grant them dignity? And that's because those are the why questions that science can't actually answer. You need something that's prior to science and out of which science itself emerges in order to restore a degree of conviction and sanity about those why and how questions.
Thomas Spencer Clavin, his new best-selling book, Light of the Mind, Light of the World, How New Science is Illuminating Ancient Truths About God. Spencer's on Substack, Instagram, X, and we have links to his various ventures on social media at our homepage for you to learn more. Because this isn't all he writes about. Everything he writes about is very insightful and very fact-based, which we always encourage that, do we not? And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. This whole idea of what it seems like a lot of I'll call them the scientific talking heads, the people with notable names who were putting in the muffler of the spirituality aspect of science. And they were getting the attention, they were getting the spotlight, and that, maybe like it or not, was what expedited the transformation of science into what it had been missing. Who's turning the wheel back into the past for a beneficial reason?
Well, it is interesting that there's kind of two movies being played right now in our world, and this is true in politics, it's also true in science, that there's a very, very loud group of people, a loud narrative that comes, I think, from the Dr. Fauci's of the world, and, you know, if you were around when the New Atheists were a really big deal, there were a lot of celebrity talking heads that really put forward in a hard-charging way this idea that, you know, religion is over, it's outdated, it's going to fade away. And that has been so front and center. It's kind of like the way the election has been so front and center. It's almost impossible to think about anything else. But quietly, in the background, more serious and sober minds have actually been taking a second look at this whole set of questions, and as you suggest, revising their interpretation. There was an article in City Journal just recently by Joel Kotkin, a wonderful social scientist, about physicists, especially cosmologists, who are starting to reconsider the possibility that there's more out there than just matter and just science can explain. And this has been going on in the background for a while. You know, the great astrophysicist Fred Hoyle said a while back that the universe is starting to look as if a super intellect has monkeyed with it. And what's interesting is a lot of these folks in the tech industry and in the science industry, they're coming up on the first steps into the spiritual world, and so they're not instantly, you know, talking dust about, they're not going immediately to the church, or they're not converting instantly. It's just that they're starting to become more open to these ideas, and even within my lifetime, that's been true. It puts me in mind of a wonderful quote. Sometimes it's attributed to Werner Heisenberg, but it's sort of floating around in different forms, but I really like this version, which is, the first sip from the cup of science makes you an atheist, but when you drain the cup to the dregs, God is waiting for you at the bottom. And I think that's what's been happening for the last 100 years or so in quantum physics. You listen to the way people like Niels Bohr used to talk. Even Einstein was very unsettled by some of the discoveries that seemed to suggest the possibility of a created universe. And now that we're in this crisis where so much of our materialist mindset is kind of starting to fall apart, and our politics have become so fractious, I actually think that people are ready to give spiritual ideas, the religious ideas, a second look.
And certainly, Joe, I guess the concern has to be, who is the one that's teaching the next generation of scientists, and are they harking back to the history of science, the majority of the history of science, or are they going to narrow their view into the troubling era of science that you write about, that hopefully the work continues to bring the, as you call it, the illumination of the ancient truths back to the majority? But again, there's that what if.
Of course, and nothing is certain, nothing is guaranteed. I do think we are living through the end of a crisis. I think we've been dealing with the fallout from many years of bad policy and bad thinking, and that can go very, very badly. It's true. Our education system desperately needs reform. But there are also people, I mean, my book is a contribution to a much larger movement. You know, the preface was written by Stephen Meyer, whose book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, is a major contribution as well to this kind of revitalization, or I would even call it a revival of understanding that science has a deeper history than just its last few hundred years. I was at a book signing last night, in which it's really been quite remarkable to talk to people from all walks of life who are starting to kind of wake up to this. I myself am a teacher at a college in Florida. I do some teaching for New College Florida. And I think actually that the tide has been turning a little bit, not toward, you know, certain victory for the lovers of truth, beauty, and goodness, but certainly toward, there is a new strain, a counterculture available for people that have been hungry for something more than materialism, more than atheism. And that's starting to gain momentum, I think, especially actually in education and some of the reforms we've seen there recently.
For you listening, I think we all have a common understanding the basics of science exists on facts, but the idea of belief has to come into play too, because certainly I know I've spoken a lot about research in medicine with the Muscular Dystrophy Association, and what if would be probably one of the more commonly used terms among researchers in that medical field. Well, what if, why not, whatever you want to add to it, there's got to be an extension beyond the foundation to explore, to understand, to gain, to develop. And that's the science that Spencer writes about, the history about, in Light of the Mind, Light of the World, and the value it has for today and going into tomorrow, certainly, and hopefully the change in direction from what had been developing into what is being returned to is indeed going to continue. Spencer writes about this and a lot more on Substack, Instagram, X. We have the links for his social media existence over at our homepage. Spencer Klavan, thank you so much for making the challenging, at least superficially, much more understandable in the importance and in the aspects that you write about in Light of the Mind, Light of the World. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a delight. Thanks for having me.